Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah on News 104.5 WOKV.
Happy Saturday and Happy New Year. I'm Candace Thomas. I'm here with Eddie and Chuck Fair from Fair and Fair. This is Consumer Law Hour. We're here to answer your questions. Give us a call at 855-765-1045. Again, that phone number is 855-765-1045. And Eddie and Chuck will answer any of your questions this afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Real good, Candace. Thanks good for being here today.
Glad to be here. Happy to be here this new year.
Yeah, first show of the year. We're excited about it. There's a lot going on in the legal world, and I hope everybody had a good holiday. And yeah. I know we did. A lot of good football on television, and just hanging out.
Sadly, the Jag season is over.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, we'll talk about it later. Maybe yeah. We'll talk about it. Doesn't do any good. Just look forward to next year. Look forward to the draft coming up, and I'm sure we'll get it together in 2019. But you know, we'll talk about our free cab program. You know, I just kind of want to talk about that just a second. You know, this is our fourth year in giving away free cab rides, and this year, I think we gave away almost 1,000 free cab rides home.
Wow.
And there was an issue, and I want to apologize to people. Uber started this new way of doing vouchers for cabs, and we purchased all these vouchers, and we were handing them out, and then there was a mix-up with the way that Uber, you know, runs their voucher program. So we had an issue with that, but you know, that's an Uber issue, and we're working with them to resolve it. And hopefully next year we're gonna have that. Hopefully Uber will have it fixed.
You paid for 1,000 people to get home
yes,
on New Year's.
On New Year's Eve, 1,000 people got a free ride home.
Wow.
From wherever they were, and no strings attached.
Very cool.
And so, yeah, it was good. But there were some people that couldn't, or the vouchers wouldn't work, or couldn't work, and that was because of things Uber was doing, but they're working on it. You know, you think these big corporations that have, they're so successful.
Yeah.
And everything runs perfectly and smoothly.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Lots of errors.
Everybody has an issue, and they're having an issue with this, but they're working on it. And you know, with Uber, it's not like you can go down to the office and talk to somebody. There is no place. I mean, you're talking to somebody over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they have offices in different cities. Like, you want to talk to me, come downtown, you talk to me.
Right, exactly.
You have an issue.
Exactly.
Or if you're with Uber, where is Uber? You know, you don't. Yeah,
and a lot of times you go back and forth over emails with them for so long, so
yeah.
It's pretty exhausting.
It is. So, yeah, but we're dealing with it, and we're excited. That'll probably make over, you know, since we started the program, probably 3,000 cab rides home. We like doing it. We're going to keep doing it. I think we're going to do it again for St. Patrick's Day. So if you want a free ride home from your festivities after, while you're out on St. Patrick's Day, we're going to have that going on too.
That's great. Right, that's so, really appreciated
yeah,
by a lot of people.
Oh yeah. People in my office use it.
And Scott, our producer Scott Young is clapping his hands. I bet he.
Yeah. On behalf of a lot of people who are working downtown and partying downtown over the holiday, man, that was a great service. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Use it if you want, man. I'll make sure I'll get you a voucher. Don't worry about that. Okay, let's get back to what we do every day here at the office. There are, you hear, you know, when there's an accident, typically if somebody runs a red light or somebody runs a stop sign or fails to yield or rear ends somebody, you figure automatically that person's at fault. And typically they are at fault. But what insurance companies are starting to do, they're starting to claim a defense called sudden medical emergency. And what that means is that they're going to argue that the person who caused the accident had a sudden medical emergency, that he had a heart attack or he has some sort of diabetic event. He has some sort of fainting. He had some sort of crazy sneezing thing that went on, or reaction to a medication. And that's an act of God. And since that's an act of God, we're not responsible for it. So we're seeing that. I've seen it. I know Chuck has dealt with it before. And so what you've got to do when you get in a case like that, if the insurance company is coming back saying, hey, I know we rear-ended you, but my client had a heart attack or had a fainting episode or had a reaction to a medication, they're going to argue the accident was unavoidable. Act of God, we're not responsible for it. But what you've got to do, you've got to look at the person's medical history. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get involved in a case like that, the lawyer, as we do, we subpoena the medical records. And we find out what's going on with that person. We look at what he told his doctors. We talk to other witnesses. We talk to people at work that he knew that maybe could say, hey, yeah, and this guy used to faint or had these problems, you know.
Well, they'll have to prove it.
Yeah, they got to prove it.
They've got to prove it. That's what caused.
Right.
Because it's a defense.
Yeah, no, but you got to come back and say, yeah, they were on notice of it. It's not like it was a sudden, unexpected event. This person has been dealing with these issues long before this accident happened. And so, therefore, it was avoidable. Maybe he shouldn't have been driving. But that's something that you're seeing more and more of. You know, I just don't know that, you know, the event was unavoidable. So if they start claiming that, then you've got to come back and argue that there were warning signals or warning symptoms. He had issues before and was aware of it. Don't you think so, Chuck?
Yeah, if it's a rear end collision, there's a presumption that, the vehicle in the back caused the accident.
Right.
You know, and then if they have a defense of a sudden, like, unexpected medical condition, they may have to prove it. But, yeah, you got to get ready. You got to get their records. You got to, you know.
Get the medical
records.
It
opens up typically the at-fault driver's medical records aren't, you can't discover them. You can't collect them and look at them.
But if they make that defense, argument, okay.
Yeah, if they make that defense or that argument, it opens it up. So, you know, you can start then delving into their medical history and, you know, if he was prone to seizures before, then, you know, and a seizure is the defense, then that's probably not a defense. Maybe he shouldn't have been on the road.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. If it's that big of an issue where it causes an accident, then why not just make the argument that they shouldn't be on the road?
Yeah,
but if it's sudden, unexpected, he doesn't have a history of it, then that's a problem.
Yeah, but see, here's the issue. For instance, truck drivers have to be medically evaluated before they can drive a semi-truck. And they, a lot of them, because they're sitting all day long, and I mean, it's a hard job. Those guys sit for hours and hours.
Yeah.
And not only sitting, they've got to do work on the truck. They got to inspect the truck before it goes out. There are things they got to do before they take off. And if a lot of these guys are on opioids, and they're prescribed by their doctor, and their doctor prescribed them, and you know, as long as the doctor believes they can function and perform their job, they're okay taking that stuff. But if it causes an accident, you know, maybe they never had a problem with opioids before, and all of a sudden, because of the medication, eventually there was a reaction and they caused an accident. The insurance company could come back and say, listen, he never had any problems before. He was on this opioid medication, caused an accident. It's not our fault. That's a defense you can hear. That's a defense that's coming down the road.
That is so surprising to me. On opioids, even with it's a medication that's an opioid, and it says on the warning label, it warns you about not driving, they can still say, oh, they've never had that issue before, so.
Maybe, I don't know that much about it in terms of, but I'm sure there are people driving on opioids.
Wow.
There are people working on opioids. So, as long as your doctor says it's okay, then you can do it. But this sudden medical emergency defense is just, I wanted to bring it up because you do see it. We're seeing it more and more these days as insurance companies try to find ways to escape responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You're using it. And so I just kind of bring it up. And
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah, sudden medical emergency. Beware if they try to throw that at you. Okay. We're going to move on to something else. You know, we talked about, you know, we do, I mean, well, and I'll talk about it a lot. We're not, but you know, as a part of this new President Trump's tax reform, you know, remember the big tax break that everybody supposedly received. Well, corporate tax rates went from 35% to 21%.
Right.
So I'm looking at it from the perspective of, okay, you know, I've got clients who are hurt. You know, they got to buy prescriptions. They need medication. I mean, and I was starting, are the medication prices going down? Because you figure if the corporate tax rates are going down, 14%, and they're getting other tax breaks, and, you know, maybe they're going to reduce the drug prices. That was what the hope of everybody. That's what I thought would happen. But in the first quarter month of 2018, there was a particular pharmaceutical company that only paid 4.5% of the taxes that it paid before. So it got like a 96% tax break. Okay, that was in 2018. Well, I mean, and this particular company, they manufacture Humira, which is, an arthritic drug for arthritis. And they sell $50 million worth of that every day, $6.3 billion in 2018 on Humira. The question is, as a result of all that, as a result of the tax breaks and all that, do drug prices go down? No. As a matter of fact, since 2017, prices of 250 different medications have increased by at least 10%, and that nearly 40 types of drugs have gone up 100%. So obviously, the tax break is not trickling down to the consumer. And this thing with the drug prices, I mean, I think we're the only country in the world that doesn't regulate drug prices.
Right.
And so people who are living on a fixed income, who have a fixed income, that fixed, that means it doesn't go up 10% a month or 10% right. a year or whatever, has to deal with rising drug prices. And, of course, the corporations are making a ton of more money because they're paying a lot less tax. And they're raising, so they're getting a double hit because they're raising the prices of the prescriptions and they're getting a tax break.
Correct.
So I don't know what's so great about that, but supposedly it was supposed to be a good thing, but maybe the stockholders are making a lot more money and the people who work for the pharmaceutical, maybe that's what we should be working for. We can all get rich, but I know. But anyway, that's the situation. It's just a fact that I wanted to talk about because, you know, we have a lot of people in our office that get prescribed medications when they're in these accidents and they can't afford to have the prescriptions filled.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times these are compounded type prescriptions because they can't take the pills. Maybe the pill is too big or it has to be a cream instead of a pill or a lotion. And to go get a compounded prescription is very expensive. Everybody knows. I mean, it's like $1,000, let's say.
Yeah.
Typically it can be $1,000. So, And so anyway, we deal with it. Then, I mean, these people they're dealing with the pain. They can't get better. And if they can't get better, they can't go back to work. So it's a vicious circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, so maybe that'll change. Maybe somebody up in D.C. will figure that out and get these drug prices lower.
We are still taking your calls. The phone number is 855-765-1045. You're listening to Consumer Law Hour as we head into our first break. Welcome back to Consumer Law Hour. Here on WOKV, we're here with Eddie and Chuck Fair. They're here to answer your questions. Give us a call at 855-765-1045. But they've been busy at work already with the first week of the year. So tell us some things that you're working on or you're keeping your eye on.
Well, we're always concerned about people injured on the job. And we do a lot of workers' compensation claims. We handle a lot of them. And we present workers who are injured on the job. It's different than a personal injury case. Because in a personal injury case, fault matters. I mean, you got to prove somebody was at fault. I mean, if an automobile accident or a slip and fall, you have to prove that somebody did something wrong for you to make a recovery. But under Florida's workers' comp and in Georgia, where we have offices also, you don't have to prove fault. Makes no difference how the accident happened. It can be your fault, and you still get workers' compensation. And that kind of leads me into the next topic I was going to talk about, is that when you talk about people killed on the job, you always think of the dangerous kind of, you know, factory workers and construction workers, but the leading cause of fatalities on the job are automobile accidents. You know, driver, delivery people. People are on the job, you know, driving their van or their truck, That's the leading cause of deaths in a workers' comp situation. You know, people who are injured on the job. The next highest occupation that deals with fatalities is farmers, believe it or not, ranchers and agricultural people. It's not really the big factories where people are getting killed on at work. So anyway, that's kind of an interesting fact. But getting back to what we were talking about, workers' compensation, a lot of people get frustrated with workers' compensation because they feel they can't get any, they can't receive pain and suffering. Let's say the employer creates a dangerous condition on the job and you're injured. You can't sue, typically, you cannot sue the employer for negligence. He gets kind of a free ride when it comes to that. So you're limited to your medical bills and lost wages when you're injured on the job in that situation. Typically, there are scenarios where you can sue your employer for negligence, but it's very difficult. It almost has to be an intentional act by the employer in order for you to be able to go out and sue the employer for negligence. Him not mopping the floor, or him allowing a leak to happen and you slip and fall, that's not going to get you a lawsuit against the employer. It'll get your workers' compensation. Mm-hmm. You're going to get your medical bills paid. You're going to get your lost wages. But you're not going to be able to sue the employer for negligence. But what we've done a lot, sometimes when people are injured on the job, they're injured due to a defective product. Let's say they're at a factory and they're working on something, the machine malfunctions, and they're injured on the job. Yeah, that's a workers' comp claim. But you also have a separate claim against the people that made the machine that injured you. So there are ways to get around that immunity and recover, pain and suffering, damages, and, everything else that you can get in a typical negligence case. Let's say you're a delivery truck driver. You're injured on the job. It's an automobile accident or a truck accident. But it wasn't your fault. Somebody rear-ended you. Yeah, you're injured on the job. Yes, you're going to get your workers' compensation benefits. You're going to get your lost wages. But you also have a separate third-party claim against the guy that rear-ended you. So there are ways to work. So when you're injured on the job, I know the benefits are typically automatic. A lot of times people just go to the workers' comp doctor and they get their medical bills. They're paying my medical bills. They're paying my lost wages. It's still worthwhile to talk to an attorney and investigate any other potential claims that you may have. You can always call our office and ask us, and we'll go through what happened and figure out if you have an additional claim. And then under workers' comp, sometimes the employers are not paying you the amount they're supposed to be paying you for lost wages. And so we'd able to recover that for you. It's typical like a PI claim. The attorneys work on a contingency, but they're able to go after any additional lost wages that they're not paying you properly. Or let's say they're requiring you to go to the workers' comp doctor, who, by the way, is being paid by the workers' comp insurance company to get you. But so he tells you, you got to go back to work, and you're not able to go back to work. We can get you a second opinion from another doctor who can look at your situation and say, no, you don't need to go back to work. You shouldn't go back to work. And that way we can fight to get the lost wages again, because we'll cut you off if you don't go back to work when the doctor says to go back to work.
I think that's something I didn't know about beforehand. I thought it was kind of required to go to the doctor that your company says, oh, you go to that doctor. Do you have options if something like that happens?
Yes, you can. Under the workers' comp law, you can get another opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use that doctor's opinion to go in front of the judge. Say, judge, this person does not need to go back to work. It's going to hurt him. He's not going to be able to improve. And that way the judge can require them to reinstate the lost wages and the benefits and everything else while you're getting treated by that new doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, people don't know that. They just kind of go through the process.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that notice in your break room about workers' compensation, but again, it's always good to reach out to an attorney that handles those types of cases and just discuss it and find out what your options are. But people, again, the third-party claims, looking at something else that caused your accident. For instance, let's say you're working at a convenience store, and a lot of these convenience stores use independent contractors to come in and mop the floors. So let's say I'm working at Wawa, and Wawa uses, ABC Maintenance Company to come mop the floors every night. and they leave soap on the floor, they don't clean it properly, or they don't do what they're supposed to, and I'm on the job, I'm behind the register, and I slip and fall. Well, yeah, that's workers' comp. I can't sue Wawa. But the maintenance company that cleaned, that was supposed to clean the floor, that did not clean it properly, is a separate company, and I can sue them. Hmm. So there are, that's why a lot of people think, well, you know, how can I sue my employer? I fell on the job. Yeah, but what caused you to fall was a separate company apart from your employer. And that's something you want to look at, because you probably have to, and you can make a recovery for that if against that third party.
Hmm. And if you have a question along those lines, we're here to answer it for you. The phone number is 855-765-1045.
Yeah. It's one other thing about this workers' compensation. Even if I'm trying to, now all these different scenarios are coming to mind. A lot of times you've seen you're injured on the job by a fellow employee. Okay. We had a case where I think it was near the shipyards, and somebody was working, you know, unloading cars or something. It had to, but there was an accident, a car crash at the shipyards by a fellow, another employee, a fellow employee working for the same company. But there are, even in that situation, would you think, oh, that's workers' comp, I can't do anything about it. There are exceptions where the fellow employee is engaged in an unrelated work or a totally separate capacity than what you are, mm-hmm. and you can make a claim against him, the employer, for that. But
okay.
Yeah,
we'll talk about
technical.
That more after
yeah,
we'll the break.
Okay, sure.
Phone number is 855-765-1045. You're listening to Consumer Law on WOKV. Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. We're taking your questions at 855-765-1045. Right now we've got William from Jacksonville on the line. He's got a question about auto accidents and pain and suffering. How are you doing today, William?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for giving us a call.
Thanks, Will. How can we help you?
Let me try and I'll make it short. We were in an auto accident a little over a year ago. And I was wondering, I had a friend, well, so I'll just say a family member, they are an attorney, but they're from a different state. And they were saying the laws in Florida are very strict about pain and suffering. I guess some tort reform happened, and I guess the only way you can get pain and suffering is for like a total handicapped injury or a lifelong injury. And I was wondering how does that get assessed? I mean, other than, of course, the doctor saying, yes, you're going to suffer with this for the rest of your life or something like that.
No, that's not, I mean, that's an incorrect statement of the law, whoever told you that. Under Florida law, in order for you to receive money for pain and suffering, you have to have a permanent injury within a reasonable degree of medical probability. And then the permanent injury is defined by the doctor. It could be a muscle sprain that doesn't go away. It could be a fracture. It could be a slipped disc. It could be any injury that does not resolve itself within a reasonable amount of time. And the doctors use a guideline, AMA guideline, to determine the definition. And there are many types of permanent injuries that revolve around muscle sprains and strains. So it doesn't have to be. You don't have to be disabled.
Yeah. But it's right, catastrophic. Yeah, a doctor can state based on the AMA guideline that if you had ongoing pain for a period of time, he can say that's a permanent condition.
Yeah,
I mean that it would be his opinion, and you could go with that and pursue a claim.
So it doesn't have to be a fracture. Or, you know, you don't have to have a surgery or anything like that.
Right. So, I mean, say I've suffered several broken ribs, and the doctor says, look, you're going to suffer pain from this for pretty much the rest of your life. That would be a permanent.
Yeah, it depends on if the doctor, typically broken ribs heal up, you know. But I mean, I'm not just from what
if there's other tissue
doctor,
that were damaged.
But if there's other, yeah, exactly. If there are other tissues that were injured, and, you know, because if you take a ligament's like a rubber band. Once it's pulled out, it doesn't come back together. I mean, it's stretched out. You know, if you take a rubber band, you pull it apart, it loses that elasticity. Yeah, that's a permanent condition, right? I mean, the rubber band doesn't grow back together. Same thing with your ligaments.
Right.
They don't grow back. So if you have that stretched ligament issue, then that's a permanent injury because it's not going to get better. And when you have that condition, that leads to arthritic problems down the road. It's a pain-producing condition. It limits your movement. So there are all kind of complications that come just from that damaged ligament.
Okay.
That's a permanent injury. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, I appreciate.
Yeah, man, good luck. Hope it works out for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have a good day.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a medical opinion that we depend on, or whether it's permanent or not. And remember, even if you don't have it, I've had people that have racked up a tremendous amount of medical bills, but they recover and they become 100% like they were just before the accident. But that's still a claim, you know, for the medical bills and the past medical bills and the past lost wages.
Yeah. Yep.
And future lost wages. You know, if you've lost a job and you can't get back into the type of, you know, profession you're in because of this injury, even though, you know, that's future lost wages that you can recover. So it's not, you know, just, you know, the permanent injury requirement is only one part of a claim.
Mm-hmm. So we're still taking your questions. The phone number is 855-765-1045. When we've got Mitchell in St. Augustine who has questions about a will.
Hey, Mitchell.
Yes, hi. Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Yep. My question is my grandmother, my grandfather just passed away this year, and he had a substantial amount of money that was left to my grandmother under the pretense that she would divide it among the rest. Okay, she wants it divided three equal ways, whatever. One of the other parties feel like they should be getting more than the rest. So we went to a lawyer, whatever, and the lawyer said it was the only way to guarantee that all parties would get three equal amounts would be for her to go ahead and divide it now before she passes. And she's not ready to divide it up yet, and I don't want her to divide it up in case something was to happen to her and she wound up having to need it anyway. Is there any way that we can is there any way that she can guarantee that, you know, all parties will receive their equal share other than writing a will? Because the way it was explained to us was that even though it's in a will, the will can be picked apart.
Yeah, no, but you're better off with the will. I mean, is she married?
No, my grandfather, he just passed
away.
Okay,
so if she has, and she has three children?
Yeah, well, she's one daughter and two grandchildren.
Oh, she has one daughter.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm not an estate lawyer, but if she passes away, God forbid, you know, tomorrow, and she has one child and no spouse, no surviving spouse, then that one surviving child will get all the money. If she wants to divide it between her child and her two grandchildren, then she needs to do a will. That's the only way you're going to get it done.
But that's even the lawyer that done that, though, said that even though there's in the will, it's written that way, but said that the will could be picked apart.
Well, anybody can contest a will, Mitchell. I mean, it's like anybody can file a lawsuit. I mean, you can go down to the courthouse today and file a lawsuit against anybody you want to. I mean, it's not going to stop you. Doesn't mean you're going to win, but you're much better off having a will that she signed. Is she competent right now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then it's very simple. She was competent. And that's what they're going to look at. To pick apart a will, you're going to have to show either that the person who executed the will, was incompetent. She didn't know what she was doing. Or that somebody undue influence against her. Somebody drugged her and got her to go create the will. Or somebody put pressure on her. Or somebody did something to her to make her do something she didn't want to do. They have the burden of proving that. So as long as you have a will, you're much better off having that will showing the division than just not doing a will and worrying about somebody picking apart a will.
Yeah. Well, she has a will. She has a will.
So you have the will. So what are you worried about?
The wheel can be torn apart after she's
But if it's done correctly, legally
torn apart. You know what I mean?
But hard if it's executed according to Florida law, and there are two witnesses, and that sign, watch her sign it. Yes. I mean, if it follows the law, it's not easy to set aside a will like that.
So she done the will, and then she even had it filed up. She has a copy of the will, and she had a copy of the will filed at the courthouse.
Are you not really? You're typically not filing the wills at the courthouse until after the death. Although, who has the original? Well, that's what you want to know. Who's got the original?
She does.
Okay. All right. And people know where that is? Like, she has it in a safety deposit box or somewhere?
Yes.
Okay. Because what I would suggest, I mean, if she has the original, because you can use a copy of a will. There are ways to prove a copy is the original. So if she has the original, it'd be good for you and the heirs, the people are involved, to have a copy of the will. If you can get a copy and hold on to it, a fully executed that shows all the signatures and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, all parties have a copy of it. You know what I mean? But they're still that.
Well, are you worried about somebody, one of the kids coming forward or one of the grandkids saying they're entitled to more?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, they've got to prove that. They have to prove either the will was not her will, it's not her signature, but if it was notarized, it's a self-proving will, so it's going to be difficult to do that, or that she was under undue influence or incompetent. It's going to be their burden to prove it. And that's going to cost money. I don't know if they're going to, unless they feel like they can really win that battle, they're probably not going to go down that road.
Okay.
Now, what they could claim now, I'm just, again, I'm not an estate lawyer, so I'm just kind of talking through my experiences. Now, I don't know if this is an argument. Maybe one of them feels like she owes them some money for something. Maybe they loaned her some money. They can file a claim against the will, against the estate for money they're owed, just like a creditor, just like Amex or Visa card or anybody else could come against the estate and say, hey, we're owed. Yeah, she may have, I mean, she owes us $1,000 for this Visa bill she never paid. Maybe something like that. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Everything's paid in full. There's always one person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you, if you want to talk, I know an estate lawyer that we work with a lot. He'll talk to you over the phone. If you want to get the real, if you want to feel more comfortable about talking to a probate lawyer, leave your number with Scott, and I'll call you Monday and give you a number to call and talk to.
That sounds great.
And he won't charge you. He'll just tell you over the phone what you ought to do to protect yourself.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, even if we have to go see him and do it, you know what I mean? Just to make sure.
Well, what you could do is maybe to just show him a copy of the will that you have and see if there's an issue with it.
Yeah.
And tell him what your concerns are. Hey, here we got this one person that's going to try this or try that, and he can tell you if it's going to work or not.
Okay. The lawyer that done the will is the one after he done it, done the wife. This thing can't be picked apart. You know what I mean? There's nothing rock solid other than her giving away before her passing.
Right. There's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing rock solid. Hey, come on. Anything can happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling in, Mitchell.
Thank you.
We'll be in phone contact on Monday.
And we're still taking your calls at 855-765-1045. But before the break, you had started talking about...
Yeah, I want to get back to this workers' comp thing, yeah. And the example I was going to bring up is people who are injured on the job that still have a claim. Reggie Bush, the football player, back in 2015, he was playing for the 49ers. They were playing the Rams were still in St. Louis back then. And so he receives a punt, and he goes out of bounds and slips and falls on this piece of concrete. There was a concrete, like a sidewalk around the football field. It was slippery. And so he was injured on the job, right? Reggie Bush is a football player. He plays for the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's able to make a workers' comp claim of some sort, or disability through the NFL, whatever, however they got that set up. But he's also able, he also sued the St. Louis Rams. and he sued them on their failure to warn and fix a known dangerous condition, because he was able to prove they knew about that dangerous condition, because when the Rams were walking onto the field out of the tunnel on that same concrete area, they had that area covered up because they knew it was kind of slippery. But where Reggie had gone out of bounds, it was not covered up. He hurt himself. Well, there was a recent verdict in that case. It went to trial, and Reggie Bush won a $12.5 million verdict. Is this a recent case? And he claimed that he lost a free agency contract because of that. I think he had a one-year deal with the 49ers, and his claim that because of this meniscus injury that I received from the fall, I lost a free agency contract. And so, and he won that case. So that's an on-the-job injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to sue somebody else to receive the full damages.
Wow.
Recovery. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Still taking your questions on Consumer Law Hour. Our phone number is 855-765-1045 as we head into break. Welcome back to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. We're taking your calls at 855-765-1045. Right now we've got Matt from Jacksonville on the line. He is calling about fraudulent injury claim against his company. How are you doing this afternoon, Matt?
Hey, Matt. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing all right. What's your question?
Well, I'm a small business owner in Jacksonville, and been in business 23 years, and never had a claim on our workman's comp or our auto policy for injuries. But we had a couple of employees that were actually getting a ride home from a job site in one of our company vehicles, and the driver was sitting at a red light. He bumped into the back of the person when the light turned green. I guess the car went to take off anyway. There was a very minimal injury, minimal damage to the vehicles, and there was literally no injuries. The two young guys in the back, they were fine after the incident. They ran across the road and so on. Anyway, they were fine at the accident. They went home that evening, talked to mom and dad, and I guess they decided to go to the hospital. And got a note. The doctors released both of the guys to go back to work the next day with no restrictions. This happened several months ago, and now they tried to sue our auto policy, which I guess they weren't able to. And now it's being considered or being filed as a settlement through our workman's comp claim.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't on the job. They weren't working. They were off work. So I'm just trying to figure out how this could get to the point that it is.
Well, is your workers' compensation? Have you talked to your insurance company? Because they're providing you with the defense right now. Were they on the? They were in a company vehicle, but they were leaving. Were they leaving the job to go home or back to the workplace?
Home. They were off work for the day. Yeah. And it was a courtesy ride. I mean, it was something that we did as a courtesy. It wasn't something that you know they were required to do or required to be in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And their doctors released them to go back to work.
Yes, sir. The next day, and they didn't show up for work, so I wasn't sure what was going on. And then I get a call from my auto policy, say auto insurance company, stating that two claims had been filed. And I, explained to them everything that happened. I got some copies of the releases. And anyway, 3 months later, they're still now. I'm being told that that's being considered to be settled for a lot of money, or quite a bit more money than what I think it should be, for lost wages and so on. And I don't know how this could get to the point that it is, because it's gonna affect our claims. We've never had a claim in 20 something years, and now the one that we are getting is not legitimate.
See, the question is if were they on the job. If they were on the job, then they would not be able to make a third party claim against your automobile. But if they were off the job and the driver of the car they were in caused an accident and he was driving your vehicle, then there could be some exposure there.
But right. I mean, well, the auto policy, the auto policy, what I was told by my insurance company was that it would refer back to their whoever gives them a ride to work, like their mother's insurance policy or father's insurance policy or whatever.
If they own a car that goes back to the household, correct? because your PIP follows you around. If I own a car and I'm in an accident, but I'm in your car when it happens, my PIP pays it, not yours.
Right. So then when they couldn't come against my auto policy, I guess they went to workman's comp. And, you know, we've explained that they weren't on the job. They weren't working, you know, and I'm being asked to provide wage information and all this stuff. And when I questioned it more, it's like, well, we're considering settling. We've set aside some money and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that they're gonna end up settling it through workman's comp, and I just don't understand how that could happen.
Yeah, because sometimes insurance companies make financial decisions that for them to defend it, and the cost of defense is cheaper to pay them some money and have it and just have the case go away.
Right.
And whether that affects your rates or not, I mean, you have to talk to your agent about that. I mean, I know there's a point system or something they use, but if you never had a claim before, how that's going to happen.
Yeah, not on workman's comp. I've never had a workman's comp claim, but I've had a couple of auto policies for minor things over the years. But anyway, I just the other issue I'm concerned about is because I heard through the grapevine that another incident happened where another person bumped into somebody, and anyway, and that's how they, I guess, pursued this, was that they were able to fraudulently, you know, say they couldn't work and didn't go to work, and even though there were no injuries, they were able to get some money from the insurance company of someone. It becomes a repetitive cycle of people figuring out how to work their system.
Oh, I know. I agree. I mean, it hurts everybody because it hurts the legitimate claims.
It does. And the system tries to filter all that out.
Yeah, there should be
the workers' comp has the right to send them to an independent doctor who can tell whether it's related or the injury's related or not, or if there is an injury. So, I mean, there are ways for it to filter itself out, you know, and get rid of the frivolous claims.
I mean, your workers' comp company can always deny the claim, make them bring it in front of a judge, and you can present that evidence, and the judge will make a decision whether they're entitled to benefits or not. I mean, so there are things you can do. I mean, but sometimes the insurance company will say, okay, I've got to hire a lawyer to defend it. I got to take it in front of the judge. It's going to cost me $2,000 to do that or $3,000. So sometimes we'll pay some money just to make it go away.
Right. Well, they were talking about quite a bit more money than a few $1,000s.
Okay, then they see some risk. Then they probably, they probably appreciate some risk that it could be related and that there is an injury. I mean, they're the experts in that.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. Thank you, Eddie and Chuck from Fair and Fair. Thank you, Scott Young, for producing.
See you next Saturday.
Have a good one.
Yep.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.